Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hell World. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and I am joined, as always, by Sarge.
It's me, from the internet.
And the mysterious L.
Wagwan, my beautiful babies!
I think that, like, the first episode, you told me not to talk in accent, and now that's your thing.
I didn't really do an accent there. I just said the word. I mean, it's not my fault if the word sounds accented.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, how else am I supposed to pronounce Wagwan? Wagwan, my beautiful. Like, yeah, I'm trying definitely not trying to do impressions of other races. That way lies madness.
Yeah, it's not good.
Oh boy,
only white people accents for me. Like my spot on Australian and French accent. Oh, they're just so good. It's truly it's like being in a room with an authentic Russian.
It really is. I mean,
when I'm doing my French accent, it's like being in a room with an authentic Russian trying to do a French accent. You're just like, what is going on? This isn't good at all.
No. mistakes were made. It's not great. This week, there are some times where you think to yourself, man, like, what are the boys on the pod going to be talking about this week? This is not one of those weeks. This is a week rich in news content and madness. And because this is QAnon and we deal with madness, we like to play a content warning.
Content warning. The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon, which means we have to talk about all kinds of child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
So, do we want to get right into the actual real meaty news, or do we want to talk about the silly Trump rally in -48 being a dum-dum? Like, the world is our oyster.
I would say let's start with the Trump rally, just because it doesn't get more QAnon than Trump.
No. Yeah. So Trump had a rally in Arizona, and
which gave us another opportunity to see the robust assortment of stuff you are not allowed to bring to Trump rallies, apparently including signs or banners or tripods or other devices from which to hang signs or banners.
Yes. Wait, what? See, I completely missed out on this. Like, I've been preparing for yet another trip, and like, I've missed this complete Trump rally. So, what, you can't bring signs to a Trump rally now?
I mean, yeah. So, some hero on Twitter posted a picture of like one of the signs that alleging to be from Trump's rally, and it seemed very similar to previous signs that we've seen, where they're just like. Yo, no signs, no tripods, no nothing that you could hang anything from, no toasters or other appliances, just like a bunch of weird shit. And it's just like, wow, what are you guys catching on people that are getting frisked going into these rallies? I mean, who showed up to a Trump rally with like their fucking like NutriBullet or whatever, and you're just like, like, nah, you can't be making organic food while you're at the Trump rally. You just need to stand in this pen and bend the knee when the emperor arrives. Yeah,
that's all we want. We don't want your signage, because that'll probably be used against us, because you're gonna write something crazy on your sign. And can you please not wear the Q shirt? Just anything. Just throw us a bone here.
And unfortunately for all the people that showed up, Donald Trump didn't actually appear.
No,
they couldn't bring signs and they couldn't bring Trump.
Nope, we did not have Trump on the stage. While you normie sheep might have thought you saw Donald Trump on that stage, -48, the leader of the Dallas cult, who decided to take a road trip up to Arizona to see the God Emperor in person, decreed to the masses that it was not Donald Trump on that stage, but rather it was the 100-plus-year-old President John F. Kennedy, who was the actual leader of the rally. And that his speech was a blessing and a benediction upon -48 and all the good stuff he's doing, because he knows what's really going on, and he knows who was actually the man under the MAGA hat that was speechifying at that rally.
Even though I am better than you, I am not.
Right. That is my... That's my favorite part of that video. Absolutely. And that was honestly one of my favorite, like, wholesome moments on the internet when someone posted that screenshot and then I made a reference to it. Then some random person on Twitter made a reference and then you followed it up. And then L followed it up. And I was just like, people bonding and riffing off Brad Neely's JFK song. Fucking great. It's just so good.
JFK.
We just got demonetized. God damn it, Charles.
Yeah, copyright strike. Brad Neely is litigious AF.
Boom, boom.
Yes.
Yep. He's sharpening his knives. just before we get back into like the actual meaty news of it all, I'm not John riffing. I don't want to hear Negative 48 or any of his followers ever complain about Joe Biden being too old to be president again ever. If their claim is that Donald Trump is in fact a fucking 110-year-old JFK, like yeah, Sleepy Joe can't get the job done. He's like 77. What we really need is this spry 110-year-old JFK to take the wheel.
Yeah, the centenarian JFK, who was famously just riddled with diseases and injuries before he got shot in the head, mind you. Addison's disease, his horrible back injuries were helped by the Addison's disease during his service in the war. The fact that there are plenty of people who think that the main reason why his autopsy was like so not great and led to so much conspiracy theories was the fact that the Kennedy family was desperately trying to prevent the doctors from examining him and figuring out that he had gonorrhea and was just like, hey, stay away from the genitals of the president. He got shot in the head. Just call it a day. Okay. Just put a bow on it.
Those genitals are protected under executive privilege.
Yes.
you may not subpoena those genitals. Like,
yes.
Man, when are we going to get to see the Trump piss tape? Like,
oh,
I thought you were going to say, man, when are we going to get to see Trump's genitals?
I mean, like, that is what I said, but just in a more roundabout way.
Like what, Stormy Daniels had a GoPro or something when she hopped in the room?
Oh, no, it's Putin has that. But, yeah, Stormy Daniels' GoPro is my, like, I need to change my Twitter title.
We're gonna see some Smurfs come out of it.
Yeah.
La, 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 la.
Stormy Daniels' GoPro.
That's the name of your fantasy team next year. So.
Mm. Yeah. No, yeah, that's my trivia team for the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Negative 48, this certified dum-dum, claims that Donald Trump is in fact ancient JFK, the somehow not dead ancient JFK in disguise. So to what end?
Foxy's favorite question. To what end?
Negative 48 really doesn't explain why this is the case and why JFK is deep cover as Trump. I think it's more about the fact that, like, in an odd way, this, like, slice of QAnon has decided to, like, center JFK more as the hero than Trump. I mean, like, Trump's, like, still important, but he's not as important as JFK is. It's kind of like if you actually like look into Islam, you find out that Jesus is really important, but he's just in the line of prophets that ends with Muhammad. So like that's basically what like Negative 48 QAnon is. It's kind of like the Islamic riff off of Christian QAnon, where like Trump is the Messiah. And it's like, no, in Negative 48 worlds, there was just a line of messiahs and they're all great. But the greatest of them was actually JFK. Let's not kid ourselves.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that metaphor. You got on some thin ice there, but you know, you managed to steer that ship. I mixed my metaphor there, but you were
on thin ice in that boat that was also a ship.
Yeah.
But then you really landed that plane.
You yes. did.
I mean,
you
I, did. I you landed it. For a second.
You, yeah. you landed it. You hit the home run.
Oh.
Don't worry, Mike. I believed in you the whole time. I knew where you were going with your Islam riff.
Yes,
because I too know that Jesus is a prophet in the Book of Islam.
Yeah, I mean, I had more than one briefing about that as well. So we all know something about Islam.
We're all evolved white men. Of course we know just enough about Islam to maybe get us in trouble.
We're now the three white guys talking about Islam podcast.
Oh, yeah. The three white...
Beautiful babies.
The three white, probably agnostic to atheist white guys talking about Islam podcast. Oh, yeah. It's so great. I will conclude this segment of a podcast I'm going to podcast by stating that I'm probably on all the lists because I actually bought a Quran on 9/12 and read it because I was like, hey, the World Trade Center just got hit. I got to find out what this religion's all about. So I just bought a Quran on 9/12 and started reading it. And I was like, oh, this is the Old Testament. It's just, hey, God's kind of mad about some stuff, but you could do better.
You were just like, so weird. This book doesn't mention anything about flying planes into buildings.
No, it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. It's so yeah, bizarre. That is strange. Yeah.
It's just like the Bible. It's so weird that the Lord knew everything that was going to happen, but the Bible never mentions cars or airplanes or Reddit even once. It's super strange.
Cars.
Yeah.
Those are the most important. The most important
cars, airplanes, inventions. And Reddit.
Yeah, cars, airplanes, and Reddit.
My favorite thing I saw today was some guy talking about, he's like, now that I've listened to this podcast and read this book by this guy, I'm renouncing my effeminate version of Christianity. And I'm just like, what? Are you worshiping like swole Jesus now? Like, what is an effeminate version of Christianity?
That painting of Jesus, like, breaking the cross.
Yes.
That fighting game where he flexes off the cross.
Yeah, right, exactly. Every time I see that painting, I'm just like, damn, what kind of nails were the Romans using? Those shits are fucking sturdy AF. It's just like Jesus wants to rip himself off the cross, and he actually breaks the cross before he gets his hands free. That's some good. I mean, those Romans, man, they knew how to make some nails. That shit was badass.
The metallurgy of ancient times was impeccable. Ugh.
I guess there's not really much else to talk about -48 at the Trump rally specifically.
At the JFK rally.
The JFK rally. The other little notable events at the rally were the divide in QAnon between the people that were thrilled with the rally because Trump was like seemingly more angry about vaccine mandates and didn't bring up how much he loves getting boosted. So he's finally back on message when it comes to the vaccines. And the other side being furious because after Trump canceled his 1-6 speech, because that was going to be a fucking clown show, these people thought that this was a speech where he was going to lay it all on the line and explain what was really going on. And this was going to be his like counter message to the media's big lie about 1-6. And while Trump like did make some noises about the Fed insurrection and Ray Epps, which we'll get into in a little while, he didn't actually go whole hog on that stuff. So he left a bunch of people kind of wanting more on the subject. And from him, we also got one of his proteges, which is Carrie Lake, the Trump endorsed candidate for governor of Arizona, who wants Dr. Fauci in jail. Dr. Fauci is the new Hillary Clinton. He's the person who gets the lock them up chance now. And on top of that, she also said she was going to jail anybody that was involved in the 2020 election. So this
under what and whose authority?
Just when she becomes governor, she's just going to tell the attorney general of Arizona to start arresting people. And when they ask for evidence or charges, she's going to say, fuck it, make it up. Just throw our enemies in jail because they did a bad thing that I don't like, which America. That's what the founding fathers dreamed of when they created the Constitution and all this stuff. They were like, if you take office and have some level of power in a state or the nation or a city, just throw your enemies in jail. Fuck them. Just boom. Everyone just goes away forever. That's just how this works. That's the freedom we want our republic to be founded on, of unchecked executive power, period.
This November in November 2 years or 2 years from now they're gonna be rough. Like once again I am asking my liberal companions and friends to stop worrying and embrace the gun, because it certainly seems like at any moment these clouds are gonna somehow re-seize power of our country, and then they're just gonna be like, democracy equal over, complete fascism equal very yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that like anyone who thinks like 1-6 kind of ended this stuff, nope. That was just one of a continuing series of battles that has been being fought against American democracy.
It seems like 1-6 made it even worse because, like, so far, pretty much nothing has come of it. Like, you know, some people went to jail or whatever, but it's not like it spurred conservatives who were otherwise like sort of on the fence to just be like, oh my God, like, what are we doing? This isn't what the founding fathers wanted at all. No, I mean, for every one like Liz Cheney, we have like 300 Republicans, like people in power who are just like, yeah, that's the way. Fuck it. We hate Dems. Anything to defeat the libs. Am I right? It's just like, no, you're not right. Like,
bad.
Right.
Incorrect.
Right. Like, I just want to roll up a newspaper and start bopping these conservatives on the nose and just be like, bad conservative. That's not what democracy is. No, bad. No. If you don't like it, maybe start like, you know, changing your party's politics so that it doesn't disenfranchise everyone who's not white Christian. Like, that would be a pretty good start.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the Republicans have looked at what's going on. They're like, our policies don't actually appeal to a broad electorate. And then they're like, you know what we need to do? Change the electorate. Make it so the people who won't vote for us can't vote. That's how we're going to fix this problem. Not by moderating our positions, but rather by eroding democracy. That's the dream.
Yeah, they're just like, is there any way that we could make it so the people that actually live in places in the country where people actually do want to populate, like New York and California, you know, all these places where like the largest city centers in the country are entirely liberal. They're just like, is there any way that we could just make them not able to vote? And it's like, yeah, okay, cool. because we really need like Billy J fucking corn farmer from Tuscaloosa to have all of the voting power. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think we've all seen the maps of like how much a vote counts for in like South Dakota versus you know, in California, and it's just more.
Hey, hashtag Occupy Wyoming, let's do this. We only need like 250,000 people to go into that state, and it's blue. It's very small. There's not a lot of people there. And, I mean, you look at it, it's like, oh, my God, they voted like 60-40 for the Republican. And then you actually look at the actual raw numbers. And it's not a lot of people. So you just get a bunch of young liberals in that state, and boom, they're fucked. We need to turn their map against them. I mean,
just need to start mobilizing groups of hundreds of thousands of liberals to just go build compounds in like low pop red states to just flip them blue. That'd be great.
Yes.
When we become podcast millionaires, when we're the next Joe Rogan Experience, we're going to mobilize our liberals.
The next Joe Rogan Experience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do a bunch of DMT in a sensory deprivation chamber. And when I come out, I'm going to be like, hey, I need a couple hundred thousand of you liberals to go build a compound in Wyoming for me. Don't do anything sketchy. Just live there and vote.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, and like we'll have like the Joe Rogan studio, and instead of having like the Joe Rogan Experience or the Adventures in Hell World Experience behind us and like lights, it'll instead be like one of us will have like Occupy Wyoming, another one will have like Occupy Alaska. Finally, we'll have like Occupy like one Dakota. We're just gonna take over the Dakotas and then just make them one state to punish them for their hubris of being two states.
By the time we're done with it, the map of the U.S. is gonna look like the Shadowrun map of the U.S. It's gonna be like three or four giant. Giant territories.
Oh, do we get a dragon as president? That'd be awesome.
No, it looks like a dragon, but it's really JFK.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, JFK back. Kind of puppet.
It's JFK back as a dragon. He's a dragon now.
No, yes. he's just got a costume on it, like he came from a Ren Faire.
Is Daniel Howlin' Coyote JFK, or is he somebody else? Is he JFK Jr.? I'm just trying to...
Wow. Yeah, there we go. The only the deepest cut Shadowrun references for our listeners.
Yes.
For the 1.5 of you on average that got that reference. Holy shit. We thought we couldn't get any more obscure than Turbo Teen. I'm willing to bet that more people have heard of Turbo Teen.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Okay, I feel like we've kept it light and fluffy for enough. Let's talk about some actual Nazis.
From the digital headlines to the digital front lines, it's Q's in the news.
So Stuart Rhodes, aka Alex Jones's bestest friend in the whole wide world and leader of the Oath Keepers, got himself and a bunch of his friends indicted for actual sedition, which has been a running Republican talking point ever since 1-6 happened, where they would be like, hey, why are you calling it an insurrection when nobody's been arrested for sedition? That's kind of the whole point of an insurrection, is that you committed treason or sedition, right? And then, lo and behold, guess what? That happened. That happened, and Stuart Rhodes and his colossal army of monstrously stupid people got themselves pinched for that very crime. And the charges, the indictment that was filed against him is literally like it's a comedy. I mean, you can't believe how dumb these idiots are that they committed all of this stuff either to text messages or the speeches were on video or like a crowd of people heard them and it's all corroborated. I mean, these were idiots who thought they were about to succeed in toppling the American government and being hailed as the new founding fathers of the revolution. I mean,
went down, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I love the pie in the sky ideas of what was going to happen in the best case scenario for these chumps in 1-6. Yeah, we're going to get in there and we're going to make it so that they don't elect this president and then Donald Trump's going to stay in power and all white people are going to be granted all the land that black and colored people own and it's going to be great and all gay people are immediately going to disintegrate like Thanos snapped them and we're all going to, it's going to be so good. We're not going to have to deal with it. And masculinity is going to come roaring back and we're just going to be able to hit our girlfriends in public again and smoke on airplanes. It's going to be sick. Make America the 50s again.
Yeah. So Stuart's one of the leaders of the Proud Boys, right?
No, the Oath Keepers. And he's the leader. He's the leader of the Oath Keepers. He like founded it. This is his baby. So yeah, Stuart and the Oath Keepers has innumerate franchises all across America. But he was the top dog. And he's the guy that's all at all the rallies and stuff. He's very distinctive from his eye patch that he got because he doesn't practice firearm safety properly. he literally pulled a Ralphie and shot his eye out. I mean, So Stuart got pinched and his indictment was very lengthy and it includes many incredibly hilarious nuggets, such as this one, which was Rhodes sent a similar message via invitation-only single group chat titled Oath Keepers of Georgia. Ulrich responded, well, I'm not a soldier, but I focused and stayed at a Holiday Inn once, so it's on, game time.
Yeah, I read that. I remember that. That was so good.
Oh, God. Oh. Yeah. One of the most hilarious things was Stuart Rhodes was getting messages from people that this was Antifa or Black Lives Matter or whatever. And Rhodes replied to these people saying this, that, no, I'm right here. These are patriots. He then replied by saying, Pence is doing nothing, as I predicted. All Trump is doing is complaining. I see no intent by him to do anything. So the patriots are taking it into their own hands. They've had enough. And then he continued by saying, we are acting like the founding fathers. Can't stand down. Per Stewart and I concur. Rhodes followed. Hey, the founding fathers stormed the governor's mansion in Massachusetts and tarred and feathered his tax collectors. They seized and dumped tea in the waters. They didn't fire on them, but they street fought. That's where we are now. Next is our quote unquote Lexington. It's coming.
But Lexington was a famous historical touristy sightseeing event, right?
Yes, a lot of tourists.
Because that's all these patriots were doing on the Capitol at 1-6. You know, aside from the Antifa and or FBI bad faith actors that were stirring the pot, everybody else is just there on a sightseeing tour.
Yes. Yeah.
Man, I gotta figure, if you're an Oath Keeper right now, like, you have to know that the FBI is looking at you in some capacity, right?
Oh yeah, if you're within 10 miles of Stuart Rhodes, if you've even talked to him, like, I mean, you are now on the periphery of what is a conspiracy to commit sedition. So you know that, like, holy shit, this has gotten a lot hotter than you ever thought. This dumb LARPy thing of hanging out with your Oath Keeper bros and doing that shit, like, now this is getting way spicier than you ever thought it was going to. And it's like, no bueno. This is not great.
Yeah.
You're going to see a bunch of these Oathkeeper guys going out and finding themselves like dark skinned and or Jewish beards to just date or whatever. So they could just be like, I'm not a Nazi. Look, my girlfriend's totally black or whatever. And some of my best friends are black. And they're just like, okay, well, we have all these texts from you, like saying like Sig Hail and stuff. So. No, the idea that these guys would be scrambling to do anything they could to make themselves look less like Oath Keepers. Yeah. Although the truth is, these idiots are probably just too proud of their fucking abhorrent like worldview to actually try to cover it up. They're probably just sitting in their like studio apartment with a loaded firearm, just being like, "Fuck it! If the FBI is gonna come for me, they're gonna come for me." Yeah. Like, all right, cool.
It is their usual attitude. What so? They've got him FBI style. That's big federal charges.
Oh yeah, he's done. I this is one of the another bit of the indictment that's hilarious to me. This poor guy, Valhijo, I butchered his last name. I apologize, but one guy joined Stack One when it reached the top of the steps. And at the top of the steps, the mob is aggressively advancing towards the rotunda doors, assaulting law enforcement, the officers guarding the doors, threw objects and sprayed chemicals at the officers. And then this Valhijo guy texts him and says, hey, the quick response force is standing by at the hotel. Just say the word. Like, that guy was like, hey, let me get in on the insurrection, guys. Just give me the word. It's go time. And the quick response force is coming. And it's like, no, Valhijo, you just stay at the hotel. You just get room service and chill. We'll save democracy. It's okay. It's okay. We got this.
I don't know the person you're talking about, but based on the way you're pronouncing that last name, I think there's like a pretty good chance that it's supposed to be Vallejo.
Could be. Yeah. Probably Vallejo. Yeah.
You're pronouncing it the way a white person pronounces quesadilla.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I just had a great quesadilla last night. It was incredible.
I mean, I don't think I've ever had a bad quesadilla.
No.
Goes perfect with some tequila.
Yeah. Some Daju sauce.
Yeah. So another great crime here is a grand theft golf cart where police are storming the Capitol. There's violence towards patriots by the DC police. So we're en route via grand theft auto golf cart to the Capitol building right now. It's going down, guys. It's literally going down right now. Patriots storming the Capitol building. Fucking war in the streets right now. Word is they got the building. Let's go. And then it says James, Munita, and Ulrich and others parked the golf carts near the Capitol. So they actually, like, we got the golf carts. We're coming for the Capitol, baby. We're doing it.
That is...
Get in, loser. We're storming the Capitol.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Just, oh my god. And then
did they scoop up any other Oath Keepers?
I don't know the names of them, but there were 10 others indicted along with Stuart Rhodes. It was either 10 total or 10 plus Stuart. But yes, they, because the whole thing about conspiracy to commit sedition is that there was a group doing it. So yeah, they had to grab the rest of them. And again, when you go through the indictment, there's just a name after name of chuckle fucking moron who just was on this Signal group chat thinking that it wasn't going to get broken into by the FBI at some point.
Nailed it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, all those texts are on WhatsApp, but I deleted WhatsApp, so there's no way they can get my self-incrimination. I mean, like,
Regular, it's... yeah, and this guy's a regular guest of Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah, Stuart. Oh, yeah, Stuart and Alex have been together for a real long time. And after 1-6, like, Alex had him on to, like, lie about what happened and pretend that they were tourists and they weren't doing anything serious. And they ignored the fact that Stuart Rhodes, again, in these indictments, had a travel log on his way up to the Capitol where he bought tens of thousands of dollars worth of guns and gun accessories for what was obviously a bunch of tourism and just taking a majestic stroll through the Capitol and just seeing what's what with our beloved democracy. It's really incredible that they could not have done this any more poorly if they tried. They're the dumbest of idiots. And to say that the feds got these guys cold is understating it.
Well, I mean, thank goodness for that. I mean, it would be a real bummer if we got our hands on these guys only to have to like catch and release them because we didn't have the goods. You know what I mean? I want to see actual justice come from some amount of what is happening, like what has happened at 1-6, beyond just like, we got the Q shaman, he was just kind of like a worthless dude who was like breaking and entering and being a goofball. If we have our sights set on some actual Nazis, I want to see them put away, or to quote a Brad Pitt, I want my scalps.
we want people bigger than like the lady who's like, I'm a white woman, I ain't going to jail, getting 30 days in jail for like insurrection. Like, all of that stuff is good because the people need to be punished, but they're pawns. They are the lowest hanging fruit, and they had no actual power, and they were a bunch of idiots that were incited by other people into doing this dumb shit. So the people who actually did the incitement, that's where this whole thing needs to roll up. The bigger people than the Q shaman and those clowns need to go down for this. And Stuart Rhodes was very tangential and very not a big part of it in the sense of like Trump and all those people. But he's a domino, and hopefully more dominoes will fall beyond Stuart Rhodes. Like, Stuart's on the level of like Steve Bannon and Roger Stone, and those guys are up to their elbows in this shit.
Yeah, I love me a good incitement, don't you? Like, just...
oh, yeah, it's truly the greatest. I mean, it's so like that level of scumbag. I really feel like Trump isn't possibly going to be connected to any of this because Trump's just a moron. Trump was just like, hey, somebody keep me in power. That'd be great if you did, but he had no idea how to plan or do any of this stuff. He's barely conscious of the actual world around him at any given time. So,
this is another good time to bring up Mysterious L's official opinion on Donald Trump getting arrested. That is never going to happen. No, it's not going to stop people from crying. But Donald Trump has too much money and too much juice to ever see the inside of a prison cell. And I would be completely fucking shocked if he ever even came close to being arrested. But that doesn't mean that people aren't going to try. Specifically, the New York Attorney General sharpening their knives, saying that they've got the goods on Trump's shady business deals. Can't wait for that to come down as a fine.
How many times have they said they have him? Like, they finally got his taxes.
Yeah, they got his taxes a long time ago, but that was, there are parallel investigations. There's the Southern County, there's the Southern District of New York, which is the criminal side of things. And then there's the New York Attorney General, which is the civil side of things. And the New York AG, Tish James, just came out saying, like, we have the evidence that the Trumps have been cooking their books for all the shit they've been doing in New York for forever now. And we will compel Donald Trump Jr. And Ivanka Trump to give testimony about this because the law applies to everybody. And today news came out. I don't know if this was the same investigation or not, but news came out that Eric Trump was deposed many months back, and at that deposition, he took the Fifth Amendment hundreds and hundreds of times. Like when he was asked various and sundry questions, he was like, "You know, America, the glorious republic it is, gives its citizens certain rights. One of those rights is the Fifth Amendment. I'll be using that right now. Please and thank you." So exactly what is going on here is very interesting, because what the New York Attorney General is talking about is a civil proceeding. So what Elle said about this all coming down to being a fine is kind of true. Although that fine could be like, I don't know, like $200 million or something, if they decide that if the Trump Corporation had defrauded the state of New York for like countless quantities of money. But the criminal investigation that's parallel to that, that's the one that is got all the blue and on, all the Trump's going to go to jail people all hopped up and freaking out and getting all excited. And as Elle said about like Trump actually going to jail being a long shot, the thing is if he ever got indicted, I mean, there would be domestic terrorism like immediately. Like so many QAnon people would lose their shit. Because, like, that's, like, the ultimate red line. Because Trump is their hero, and he's their binky, and he's going to keep them happy and placated for as long as they think he can become president again, either by election or by magical pixie dust, whatever they think is going to happen. I mean,
look what happened when he lost an election. They literally stormed the Capitol building. Like, right. If he got arrested, holy shit.
They touristed the Capitol building.
I know.
That's right. Yeah, they touristed the Capitol building.
How dare you slander these proud white people?
Yeah, they were standing outside the Capitol building shouting, "We want to hang with Mike Pence! Hang with Mike Pence!" And then the police benevolently let them in, and then Mike Pence got a little spooked because he's kind of a coward, and he just ran away, and pretty much it's all Mike Pence's fault. Like,
I mean, to be fair, we've all been there when so many people want your attention to like hang out with you that you just like retreat. You're just like, you know what? It would be unfair for me to hang out with one group of these people over the others, so I'm just going to hang out with nobody. Right. Yeah. The only fair thing to do.
They just start chanting, "Let's go, Mike. Let's go, Mike."
Yeah. So if he ever got indicted, like that would start like all kinds of shit. And imagine if like Trump was actually, I mean, where would you put Trump in prison? Because it's not like he can go to like a supermax or something for his crimes. But if you put him in like a club fed that was like a low security prison, there would be idiot QAnon people trying to break him out like every month. Like it would literally be, you'd literally have to send Trump to Guantanamo. I mean, that's literally what would have to happen. He would have to be on the shores of Cuba being guarded by our military as like a political prisoner in exile so that clowns didn't constantly try to break him out of whatever prison he was in.
I mean, that's what they did with Napoleon the first time they defeated him. They banished him to an island away from everybody else.
They should just build a special prison for Trump that the only way to enter or exit it is via ramp. And then they would never have to worry about him escaping, at least without like some slow assistance.
Yes.
Like, oh, God, they're like, "We've only got a 2-minute window where we can get Trump out of his cell and safely to the helicopter we have waiting for him." And it's just like, "We'll never make it in time. There are ramps."
Have you seen the incline on that thing? Yeah, it's like 27 degrees. Oh, my God. Like, human foot can barely trot upon it.
To escape, he has to let strong-minded women ask questions of him, and he cannot dodge. He has to answer.
Or another way he would have to escape is being told 5 words and having to remember those words and repeat them back 20 minutes later.
There's a security passphrase for like the locked door, and it's like to open it, you have to recite literally any verse from the Bible, just a single one. Yes. Just anyone. Well, like 10 words of a verse from a Bible. Like, it's your favorite book, so it shouldn't be that hard, but can he do it?
Yeah. You have to hold the Bible right side up.
He's gonna be like, and then Adam and Eve, they like hung out, and God was like, "Hey, cover it up." And they're just like, "Trump, you have no fucking idea what you're talking about, mate. You're never getting out of this prison." I like the idea that this is like Donald Trump gets arrested. And there's some sort of like jigsaw figure that's just fucking like concocting a torturous Trump specific series of dumb shit he has to do to earn his freedom.
It's like the fat camp from Simpsons. They're like, you can leave whenever you want, but the only exit is up a gentle incline.
Yup. You know,
God willing, something will come of the New York Attorney General breathing down Trump's sweaty orange neck, but we'll see. Much more likely, considering the amount of people who seem to be publicly abandoning him, is living Moai head Matt Gaetz's legal woes. Apparently, his girlfriend, who we had mentioned on a previous podcast as having been cooperating with investigation, has officially been granted immunity, which is not the sort of thing that happens if you don't have some sort of goods. So,
more specifically, she was granted full immunity for sex trafficking charges.
Yeah, Mike, what do you got to say about our good friend Matt Gaetz?
It appears like his girlfriend got immunity because it appears that she was in trouble because her and Matt, they had had a phone call about, you know, like there's this, Matt was like, hey, you know, there's this girl and she's having some trouble. So it felt like the ex-girlfriend was in with Matt to try to either intimidate or otherwise prevent this person from coming forward, to prevent their evidence. And the girlfriend knew that she was like, oh shit, like Matt got me into this hot water here, and now I'm kind of a co-conspirator. So I need to be able to be like, hey, this stuff was his idea. This was all Matt's sex criming that he got me involved in. And Matt's as long as you can get my legal troubles out of the way, I'll give you the farm on this guy. So that is basically what it seems like has happened. And now, if the ex-girlfriend has reached a full immunity deal for the sex crimes, then I wonder what her testimony previously was, and if like when she gave testimony to someone, she was like, hey, stop asserting the Fifth Amendment here. But by the way, you probably really want to hear this shit, and if we can work something out, I'll come back to this grand jury, and Matt Gaetz will be kind of fucked. The Matt Gaetz snowball, which had been rolling downhill many months ago, and then apparently like hit something and stopped. Apparently, it got momentum again, and now it's moving back down that hill much faster than it previously was. So,
you could say that as it was rolling down the hill, it may have got snagged on a stone, a Roger Stone, who has since moved out of the way of Matt Gaetz in the most impossibly strong terms possible. If I saw correctly, Roger Stone tweeted essentially, "Fuck you, Matt Gaetz, I'm out of here."
Roger Stone has decided to just lose his fucking mind recently, and on top of that, he has now gone out of his way to claim that there is a Steve Bannon sex tape out there that he may or may not be capable of producing should events warrant, like the weird grifter on grifter violence that is going on in Republican circles.
Gross.
Is
no, thank
very
you.
Bizarre. Roger Stone was taking some shots at Governor DeSantis because Trump's been taking shots at DeSantis, and now that's the new hotness in intercedent Republican feuding is the Trump team trying to dull the sheen off of everyone's favorite Floridian genocider, Governor DeSantis.
Did he show back up? Has he been in public again?
He showed back up, and at a speech for manufacturing in Florida, that man was either aggressively winded from a vicious bout of COVID, or he was just really emotional about how important manufacturing in Florida was to him. Because that it was like a 15 or 20 minute speech, and that dude was struggling getting through it. It was rough.
I've got it.
I mean, it couldn't possibly be from COVID. COVID doesn't exist in Florida.
Nope, doesn't. Nope.
They herd immunity to COVID by just giving it to all of their children. It like immediately worked. Yeah. They're like, hey, we're just going to keep our schools open, and a bunch of our kids are going to get COVID, and now COVID is over. Don't worry about it. We will be answering no further questions and releasing no data.
So they're taking shots at DeSantis because he's one of the front runners to challenge Trump when Trump inevitably announces he's running again, right?
Well, yeah. DeSantis is the Devin Banks to Donald Trump's Jack Donaghy.
Reference for L and more people than the Shadowrun one.
Yeah, I was about to say. I mean, I'm going to give at least 30% or more. 30% plus of our audience will get my 30 Rock reference versus the fucking 0.01% that got the fucking Howling Coyote reference.
Yeah. I have one friend who once every 4 months, like clockwork, brings that guy's name up. That's the only reason why it sticks in my brain.
What?
I don't know. He just loves
probably for the same reason that Mike and I are always talking about Spotted Horse and how he cannot be killed by a bullet.
Yes, exactly. It's exactly like that.
But yeah, there's this this juicy rift. I mean, this doesn't really have shit to do with Matt Gaetz, but fuck it, we're talking about it now. There's this juicy rift developing between Donald Trump and DeSantis, which is just fucking, it just warms the cockles of my black heart. Anytime these dumb Republicans are fighting amongst each other, like, blood flow is starting to circulate in L's south of the border region.
I think my favorite thing about this is that Trump has sort of inoculated himself from the easiest attack any other Republican can make against him, which is, you lost by 8 million votes to fucking Sleepy Joe. How bad are you? You suck. We need somebody that can beat Joe Biden, because Joe Biden's nothing. He's an empty suit. That was like the entire Republican argument in 2020, was that Joe Biden is a nobody that nobody likes and nobody cares for. There's no way on God's green earth that a alpha male Chad with the charisma and the pizzazz of Donald Trump could lose to Joe Biden. And then he did, in a popular vote landslide and pretty decisively in the Electoral College on top of it. Yet, if like Governor DeSantis got in front of a podium and was just hey, everybody, Donald Trump lost the election really badly. If we nominate him again, he'll get smoked again because he sucks. America doesn't like him. We need a new direction and we need to move somewhere else. The Republican voter base would like pelt DeSantis with like fruits and vegetables and boo him off the stage. They'd be like, no, the election was stolen, bro. You don't understand. Like Smartmatic and all those and Dominion and all those other evil people. They switched the votes and they used the Sharpies and blah, blah, blah. And you can't even argue electability to these people because they don't think elections are real unless they win them.
What they keep missing is, I didn't vote for Biden so much as I didn't vote for Trump. Like, and I think that's what a lot of people did. I voted against Trump. I would have elected a dead cat over Trump.
At the end of the day, you didn't like fucking write in Bernie Sanders or something.
No, I didn't.
Voted for Biden, but I get the sentiment. Like, anyone with a brain should have voted for it. Like, you know, they were just like, you had all these like really super extra principled parentheses white progressives just being like, you know, I gotta vote my conscience, man. I'm not just gonna vote for whoever is running against Trump. That's not how it's supposed to work. It's like, oh, fuck you. That's how it's working this year. Like, come back in 4 years if you want to pull this shit. But no, now it is Trump versus everybody, and everybody needs to win. So,
right, like, yeah, and I have actually seen, like, some people in QAnon delicately bring up the fact that, you know, Trump's kind of polarizing, and I don't know. But at the end of the day, they're so tied to their orange daddy that they just can't admit that he lost, and he lost decisively. Trump can't admit it. So I really think that's going to be very interesting to see if any Republican dare bring up the fact that reality is real, water is wet, and Trump lost the election badly, because it feels like the Republican Party is like just still beholden to this clown. It'd be really funny if, like, in a couple months, like, Trump either was in jail, which probably won't happen, or if he dropped dead, because, I mean, an Adonis of his age and physical status and the fact that he had a bout of COVID, there's no way anything could possibly health-wise take a bad turn on that dude. But it'd be like so funny if, like, Trump was just not going to run and was no longer a factor, to just see how many Republicans would just be like, hey, everybody, we really lost that last election really badly, so now we got to kind of turn the page, and that means you got to go with me because I'm a winner, unlike that last guy who was kind of a loser. I mean, I liked him and all, but he lost. Let's call a spade a spade. And they can only say that because he's dead or in hospice or whatever. Like, for now, the emperor still, like, has a tight leash on them, and they have to pretend that they're still looking for the source code of the Dominion software that will reveal that Trump actually won. They got the packet captures, and any day Mike Lindell's going to release them. I mean, whatever it is.
At least they're keeping busy.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's very important. Idle hands are the devil's playground.
Speaking of devil's playground, do we want to talk about Prince Andrew?
Oh, let's get into that.
I believe you mean regular Andrew.
Yes, that's your note, and I was leaving the joke for you.
I mean, I guess, yeah, he is still technically Prince Andrew, but boy howdy, they sure to take away all of his powers and responsibilities.
Oh yeah,
How guilty does that make a look? I mean, like, the crowd is like, we're not saying that Prince Andrew is guilty, but this investigation is still happening, and for completely unrelated reasons, we are removing all of his powers and responsibilities.
We're removing all his powers. The Queen was like, the crown will in no way be paying for your defense or legal troubles. You have to pay for those yourself. He had to sell rich people problems. He had to sell a chalet to pay for his multi-million-dollar legal defense. Man, he has to be so guilty. Like,
oh, I mean, yeah, they know.
That indicates a level of guilt to me that was like at one point the queen walked in on Prince Andrew under a writhing pile of underage girls and was just like, oh, bloody hell, not again.
Damn it, Andrew.
Not in Buckingham Palace, Andrew. Take them to your private chalet. I mean,
fucking hell, you bellend. She just shoos him off with a broom.
Yes.
Release the hounds. They
scatter like rats. Yeah, I mean, that's like, holy shit, bud. I mean, things definitely not looking good for you when your family, the royal family, have decided to just cut you loose versus helping you stick through it.
Or just burying it. Like, they can't bury it, and there's the, like, man, there has to be, like, an MI6 agent briefing the queen, just being like, he is guilty as shit, your majesty. And she's like, god damn it.
Yeah. Most of this has come up. Most of this this turn against Prince Andrew has come because Virginia Guffrey's civil lawsuit against Andrew has been allowed to proceed. Andrew's attorneys had tried to have this lawsuit thrown out and dismissed. It has not been. The case will move forward. And on top of that, there are eight men that were part of this suit that's names have been withheld as John Doe's. And Ghislaine Maxwell has said that she will no longer attempt to protect the secrecy of those men, that their names can be unsealed in the court documents and presented, I guess, to the public, if not, I mean, maybe just the jury, but hopefully to the public.
I mean, was she just holding on to those to try and get some time off or to protect her life? Like,
who knows? But so now that basically the defense side of this thing has said, hey, name names. You can just tell everyone who they were. Of course, QAnon thinks that the names of these people is Tom Hanks, Bill Gates, Bill Clinton, and all of their other enemies that they really hate. But we don't know exactly when this is going to actually bear fruit, because these lawsuits take forever to get rolling. So exactly when and if the judge is going to make the ruling to unseal the names of the men, we don't know. And we have no, and we all, I mean, everyone likes to speculate on who they are, but we actually don't know who they are. Cause this is,
I can't wait for her to start naming names. And it's just like Donald Trump, Alex Jones, Steve Bannon. And then at the end of it, she's just like, and it also, for what it's worth, Matt Gaetz left me like 30 voicemails that I never responded to.
Oh, man, the massive pivot to Epstein being a massive deep state op just to make Trump and all the Patriots look bad. Oh, that'd be so incredible.
Well, I mean, the op was already well underway when CIA and FBI, digital bad faith actors photoshopped all those images of Donald Trump palling around with Jeffrey Epstein. So, how deep does it go? Alice in Wonderland.
I mean, yeah. Microsoft bought Blizzard. That's like, how deeper can it go? Like, yeah. Sorry, we said Bill Gates, and I was trying to riff on that. It all fell apart. This was worth going back for.
I mean, hey, sometimes you choose the hill you die on, and sometimes the hill chooses you. I guess. But yeah, I mean, I'm just going to go out and say, like, you know, if Maxwell has a list of names and she could, like, back it up with evidence, I would probably be slightly more frightened if I were these conservative Trump worshipping idiots than if I was like I am.
You have to know if you're a dyed blue liberal idiot.
I mean, because, like, there's just like a billion pictures of Trump hanging out with Maxwell and Epstein. Like, there's just so much evidence that they were like good pals or whatever. So if like riding on Epstein's plane was a smoking gun, then boy, howdy, you bet Trump never flew in a plane with fucking Epstein. I somehow doubt it. And like, you know, normally you could just be like, oh yeah, they're just fucking dumb rich people. Sometimes they hang out together. It doesn't necessarily mean they're implicated in crimes, except that the QAnon crowd are the ones out there banging the drum where it's just like, no, if you ever said one single fucking word to Epstein, you were definitely paying him for sex with minors. And it's just like, well, we have a bunch of evidence that Trump talked to him all the time. Like, what do you have to say about that? And they're just like, it doesn't look like anything to me.
Oh, they're all about keep your friends closer, your enemies closer. And Trump was just monitoring him. And he was like a secret mole informing the government about what's going on. And then they didn't take Trump's evidence seriously. They covered it up. And like that was like the part of the process of being pilling Trump to like finding out what was really going on when he knew that corrupt Epstein was getting away with it. And then they killed his buddy JFK Jr. And that's when Trump went really crazy.
Maxwell was at Chelsea Clinton's wedding. There's a bunch of pictures of it. She was just a power broker and a mover and a shaker. Do I think that means that Bill Clinton used Epstein's services? No, probably not. Do I think Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton should be charged for any number of crimes? Oh, absolutely. But I don't think they were involved with the Epsteins. Do I think Trump was? Much more than I do the Clintons, because there's other circumstantial evidence that would lead me to believe that. Not the least of which is him constantly saying he wants to fuck his daughter. So
yeah, I mean, oh man, my daughter's so hot. Like, if I wasn't her father, I would totally. And it's just like, well, you'd still be like 40 years older than her. He's just like, that doesn't matter.
Yeah. Age is a number, which is a concept. Like,
yeah.
Gross.
You know it, Trump Sarge. You monster.
Yeah, and, you know, like, and if she starts naming names and it ends up being like Bill Clinton, fucking Bill Gates, Tom Hanks, all those people, it's just like, yeah, fuck it. I mean, if you have the evidence to back it up, fucking hang him. Like, I don't give a fuck how good he was in Castaway or whatever. Like, I don't want to hear nobody fucking kids get like get those people behind bars. So, like, you know, I'll be. Like, as a liberal, it seems like a win-win for me, no matter who is on her list of names that she has.
Yeah, yeah. Like, whoever she has evidence for sex trafficking and underage sex, I don't care who they are, they need to rot in jail, in Guantanamo, wherever. Like, don't have, I think the American justice system needs to be overhauled, but not for pedophiles.
Yeah, like,
hot takes from Sarge.
I've actually like seen people like say, "Oh, you liberals will just throw Clinton under the bus because he's already like had his time. He's not worth. He doesn't matter anymore." It's like, hey, if Maxwell named Biden, fuck him. Like, make him resign in disgrace and throw him in jail. I don't care. This is like the difference between QAnon.
That would actually be awesome. Then we'd have Kamala as president. That sounds much cooler than Joe Biden as president.
And I like her better than Biden, but I'm not a huge fan of either of them because they have legislative problems. Like, I don't like Kamala's stance on cops, but Biden still hasn't canceled student loan debt like he promised he would do, and it's just a stroke of a pen. So you know what? Fuck them all, but most of all, Trump.
The problem for me is it's just like we're dealing with one party that is actual fascists who want to start an authoritarian police state. So any quibbling I have of the other side is just like really arguing about the color of the drapes. I just don't.
Yeah, well, Mike, you're allowed to have that opinion because you, like me, do not have any student loan debt. For people with student loan debt, that is literally the only thing they seem to give a fuck about. All I hear progressives bitching about is their student loan debt. They don't give a fuck. They're like, can't believe we elected Biden. I still have student loan debt. This is bullshit. We should just let Trump into the office again. It's like, wow. I mean, I get it. Debt sucks. But like, also, shut your fucking cake hole about your stupid debt.
Yeah, I mean, when you have to make massive payments, it would be, whatever, it'd be good for America, and if you're buried under it, it is, I understand it's the only thing you can think about, but there's a bunch of other issues, that one needs to be addressed, I don't know, let's...
I agree with getting rid of student loan debt, but at the same time, it's just like, Biden is grappling with, like, serious fucking issues in the country that go a little bit beyond the student loan debt fiasco. Let's try to, like, get rid of the filibuster and prevent fascism from dominating our country. Like, actually make sure that democracy is a thing that continues going forward in the United States of America. Yeah. Like,
let's get voting rights in there first.
Yeah, rights and all that stuff. And, like, at some point, yes, let's get to student loan debt. But until then, like, I really wish the progressives would have something else to talk about besides their fucking student loans. It's just like, I get it, man. Debt sucks. But, like, they're bigger fish to fry. Sorry, there just are. Like,
yeah.
I just hoped he would have gotten to it before now. But
well, my only thing, the only thing I'm worried about on that front is that we just had the Supreme Court say that OSHA can't regulate fucking mandates for workspaces. If Biden busts out his pen and eradicates student loan debt, like, those colleges are going to like sue and. Like, it's probably going to be like 6-3. Hey, by the way, the president can't do that. You know why? Because the Supreme Court actually runs America now. Get fucked, idiots.
What the fuck is the point of OSHA if they can't do that? Are they just the people who make the posters I have to stare at? Like,
yep, that's it. But those posters have no enforcement if white people in America are sad because of them. So yeah, it's so stupid. And this is that's why this podcast is called Adventures in Hell World, because we're actually in hell. It's great.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, Jesus. I have let's just say a tenuous relationship with my progressive brothers and sisters because they. I do agree with all the stuff they want, but at the same time, like, as somebody possessed of some amount of, like, realist sensibilities. I'm just like, guys, like, the president is not Mr. Mixia Spitlick. He is not a magic imp that can just do whatever the fuck. Like, he can't even get his primary agenda options through because of Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. Like, shut the fuck up about your fucking student loans for now. There's serious shit going on in our country.
Well, we've gone deep into the reference mines this week. Is it time to come up out of them and get to our listener questions?
We could do some listener questions, but I'm like, no promises about not doing any more references.
I'm not telling you stop. I'm just saying, no. like the dwarves, we've dug very deep.
I was going to commend your smoothest sandpaper transition, so let's get to those questions.
Our listeners got questions. We got answers. It's time for Q&A.
Hey, that segue was great.
Oh, incredible. Speaking of something that's like smooth, like butter on a pancake, Pancake Peasant asks, are Sarge's Freemason connections strong enough to actually launch L's proposed Freemason coin?
Probably not. I don't think I've paid my dues in like a year or more. Quite a while, actually. And I've been to like exactly two meetings. And
when you went to those meetings, did they let you hold any of Ben Franklin's gold?
No. I mean, the first one was just getting in, and then the second one was getting my fez. But no.
Are you sure you were a Freemason? Did you become a Shriner? Because Shriners are the fez.
Yeah, you have to be a Freemason to be a Shriner.
Okay, so that you just upped your the Freemason is your first.
How long were you a Freemason before they upgraded you to Shriner?
It was pretty immediate. I'm a legacy. My father and grandfather are both Shriners.
This fucking nepotism bullshit. Like you just jump the line to go straight to Shriner. Like you didn't pay any of your Masonic temple dues, and they immediately just gave you the keys to a tiny car.
Yeah, they jumped me right in. No, you have to wait. I haven't got to drive the tiny cars yet either. I'm not cool enough. I'm not deep enough for Ben Franklin's gold or the tiny cars. My father has driven a tiny car in a parade before, though.
How does he feel about the overlap between Shriners and actual clowns when it comes to their love of tiny vehicles?
I think he's probably okay with it. I know my grandfather was big into the Shrine Circus before that, like, went away. I just remember, like,
holy shit, was that a thing where there was a Shriner Circus?
Yeah. I just remember when I was a kid going to a hotel room with my grandfather and all his buddies at the Shriner Circus, and I got to meet like all these guys, but just like there was a huge,
all these guys like Jeffrey Epstein.
There's a huge wheelbarrow filled with booze, and they were just like pulling bottles out. They it was just a drinking party. Like they did the Shrine Circus to raise money for sick children, but they were like, I just remember a staggering amount of booze that I, as a child, even clocked as like, this is a lot of booze.
I mean, for like a weird secret society or whatever, man, the Shriners do just, they're very hard to take seriously. All anybody knows about them is they like wear fezes, which are among the most comical of hats, and they drive around in tiny little clown cars.
Yeah, they raise money for sick children. Like that, they run a bunch of, they raise money and run a bunch of hospitals for sick children. That's like their
I believe
main
you mean
thing.
Adrenochrome farms disguised as hospitals.
I'm not supposed to say that on the recording, but yeah.
Well, you're not supposed to say it, but I'm not a Shriner, so I could spill the beans.
Yeah,
I could spill all of the Freemasons' darkest secrets about Abraham Lincoln's secret time machine.
I'm not here next week, but the week after when I'm back, I'll wear my fez for the whole recording. We'll see if the listeners can tell; they'll feel the fez power.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to pop. It's going to be incredible. that
so was no, 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 no. Freemason coin. Sorry,
man.
But to be honest, we're not gonna need their. We don't need their fucking consent to do Freemason coin. We're just gonna do it. What are they gonna do? Sue?
Yeah. I mean, they're not even that secret anymore. I'm gonna let you guys in. Everyone, get in close. If you go find the the truths about the Freemason books at the bookstore where they talk about their secret rituals. Those are usually pretty spot on. Like, no one keeps the secrets anymore.
Yeah, I sort of assumed the Freemasons weren't that secretive of the society when I started seeing like bumper stickers.
Yeah, well, they have a real problem where people aren't joining because it's all old men. Like, I joined because it was important to my grandfather, but they kind of ran into a problem where they got a bad rep, and then. It's not like it's supposed to be a fraternity making connections and helping people out, but young men aren't joining anymore. So it's kind of like dying a natural death. If it's just like not yeah. people aren't joining anymore.
Yeah. So that was a lot deeper and juicier than I thought it was going to be on Freemason coin. But for those of you listening right now to me, you can enjoy the helicopter over my house. So that's exciting. Amanda Scatlin asks, so celebrities covering up one eye is a symbol of something to QAnons. Is it the Illuminati? If so, is it bad? What do they say about the one eye on the U.S. dollar bill? Is that acceptable or not? They hate the dollar bill in America. It is something that triggers QAnon in ways you can't even imagine. I've seen posts by people saying that, like, we will only be free when we remove this accursed symbol from our currency.
Shut up.
Yeah, this is part of the thing where they talk about how the Illuminati are throwing it in our faces, that they're just showing us their evil and all the terrible things they're doing, and that like their propaganda and their symbolism is so omnipresent, it's even on the $1 bill. As for celebrities, it's one of these things where they don't actually fully tell you why they're doing it because the reason changes. But the original thing was, it was a shout out to their Illuminati overlords that they're showing submission by covering an eye with a hand or their hair or something. There's this one photo of a Paramore band shoot, and it has like, all the men in the band are covering their eyes with hands that have eyes painted on them. And I forget exactly what Hayley Williams is doing in the photo, but it's just all covered eyes and hands. And I just thought, oh my God, Paramore will be the most hated band in the Illuminati universe. But they never got big time enough for that photo to just like,
yeah, I was going to say Paramore is going to have to get just a little bit bigger. I know why you know about them because they are right next to Garbage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hayley Williams did a magazine cover that was a tribute to Shirley Manson. So, of course, that photo is like should be the most triggering thing in the world of these people. But because QAnon are clout chasers and they only care about the truly ultra famous, they stick to Lady Gaga, Beyonce, and Rihanna and the people that are just like massive, and then they call those people Illuminati, and it doesn't hurt that they're women and who are also people of color because they're also misogynists and racists.
And also, for what it's worth, like the three women you brought up there are also like unabashedly just like about their sexuality. They like fucking and they don't like mind like working that into their art. And I'm sure that like for these uber masculine Christians, that really really sticks in their craw. There's like Lady Gaga and Rihanna should only be concerned with fucking their husbands that they don't have or whatever. And it's just like, okay, cool. Well, like, oh yeah, they should only be having sex for procreation unless they're a Chadley dude, in which case they should be having sex for fun and pleasure because that's the Christian way.
As Jesus told us, yes, exactly.
Yeah, he was go out and be fruitful. And also, if you're an alpha male, just fuck as many women as possible. And finish wherever you'd like, because it doesn't matter. But if you're a woman,
finish wherever you want.
But if you're a woman, only for making babies, please.
Yeah. Yeah, and if, and if you don't make babies, you should feel ashamed of yourselves for having sex, because that's what God intended.
Yeah, get out of the workforce and back into the baby-making business. Let's fucking go.
Women's Reproductive Rights by L.
Yeah, oh yeah. L's going to primary Dan Crenshaw and win the QAnon vote and get rid of that guy. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, Roe v. Wade is, like, under assault right now, so just as soon as we can get rid of this student loan debt, we should really focus on that. I mean, just, like, that's the list of priorities. Student loan debt, number one with a bullet. But then below that, women's reproductive rights.
Yep. So, yes, all eyes are bad, be they on celebrities that are obscured or on dollar bills. That pyramid with an eye is a source of outrage since time immemorial in America to these people.
So eyes covered eyes bad. How do they feel about extra eyes? Like, what? Like, how does QAnon feel about the third eye?
I probably like the third eye, because that would be a sign that you're, like, pilled and awake and you've opened your third eye. Unless you deal with the more hardcore Christian-y QAnons and the less New Agey, because then the third eye is probably, like, bad because it's not Jesus.
Yeah, because it's associated with, like, you know, like religions from foreigners or whatever. That doesn't sound good.
No. Oh, it's super scary.
If the God of Abraham, our Lord and Savior, capital G God, and his son, who is also him, capital J Jesus, wanted us to have three eyes, they would have just given us three eyes.
That makes sunglasses look real weird. That I think I know why they didn't do it.
I mean, I feel like you could probably just design third eye sunglasses the same way, like the lady from Total Recall with three tits. Boom, here's your reference. Like that looks weird on its face, but you could probably design a bra that works for that lady, right? I mean, science is fucking magic, right?
Did they have a new three boobed woman in the remake where they didn't go to Mars but they had the elevator through the Earth?
I don't know. Who the fuck saw that remake?
You and me. We saw it in theaters.
Negative, Ghost Rider. That definitely never happened.
I saw it in theaters, and I don't think I'd see a terrible movie with, like, anyone but you while we were living together.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that I'm your ride or die for bad movies, because I do remember seeing Geostorm with you. That movie was abhorrently bad, so I can't imagine that we saw Total Recall and I don't remember it.
I definitely saw Total Recall Remake in theaters.
Oh, well, then
you should be able to answer your own damn question about whether or not there was a three-titted woman in it. Why are you asking me?
I don't remember, because this is what I come to you for. Tell me the third boob. Did they?
When I have questions about titties, I come to L.
Titties in that movie? Deep reference titties.
Who am I, Mr. Skin? See, I told you, these references, they're never going to stop. All I do is reference.
Yes. So, thank you for the question. Reverend Xenofact asks, can we convince the Q crew that NFTs are being used to pay for trafficked children to make the internet burn down? I just think that the QAnon is too far away from NFTs to really understand them. And the people that would understand them in QAnon would want to use them to aggressively grift. So I don't think we're going to be able to actually create an anti-NFT QAnon movement, because enough of the QAnon people that are, like, doing this shit are crypto bros. They do talk about, like, how we're going to tear down the Fed with digital currency, bro. We're going to do it.
What would be an easier way to get rid of the eye on the pyramid on the dollar that they hate so much, that is just, like, eradicate the dollar by cryptocurrency? Also, for what it's worth, this is one of the few times where I very much disagree with Mr. Mike Raines. I feel like if you had enough people together that could get enough money, like, to splash around to make it look legit enough, if you made a series of NFTs that were just cheese pizza, like, and just got, like, several of those to sell for hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars somehow, at some point it would be very easy to feed a line to the Q people and just be like, cheese pizza NFT, am I right? And they'd be like, oh my god.
That sounds like a dangerous game, sir.
L has actually pilled me on this now. We need to do this. We need to create cheese pizza NFTs and just find idiots. The same idiots that are scamming people with those goddamn apes. We need to start finding people to buy in the cheese pizza NFTs and just take us down that dark road and just blow QAnon's minds and turn them against NFTs in the most vicious way possible. That would be hilarious. Oh man.
I got real nervous yesterday because the official Shonen Jump Twitter account tweeted out, "Tomorrow, big announcement on a new way to show your love for Shonen Jump." And everyone tweeted like real nervous about this, and almost immediately they tweeted out, "It's not NFTs." And it's like, oh, thank God. Jesus.
Thankfully, it sort of feels like the fact that big companies, like big video game companies like Ubisoft and shit, are like trying to get on the Konami NFT racket, like that seems like it's net positive to me, because that's the equivalent of when Obama did the Thanks Obama video, right? It's just like, oh, this thing has run its course, it's over now. Like, it hit mainstream enough where it is no longer this cool weird thing that has like niche appeal. Like, now that all these money hungry companies are trying to like swarm around this NFT craze, it seems like the NFT craze is going to go the way of swing music, and it's just going to go back into its fucking hole. It'd be for a very select subset of people that still want to pay exorbitant amounts of money for JPEGs.
Yeah, someone bought an NFT of the novel Dune, and the people who owned the rights to that were like, yeah, that's not going to work. This isn't how that works.
I don't think that was an NFT. I think they bought like an actual physical copy of that book. And because they assumed that was going to give them the copyright for it, which it does not. I saw the headlines for that, and I skimmed one of the articles, mostly because it's just like, oh man, there's only so much pointing and laughing I could do about all these fucking crypto bros throwing around their dumb money and like just literally throwing it into a fire. Before, you know, I'm just like, I'm done with this. I've gotten my Schadenfreude in for the day. Like, you guys are idiots with money. That's really funny to me.
After some quick research, I can confirm they did put a new three-boobed woman in the Total Recall remake. There you go.
You just didn't remember because to mix it up, they put her third boob on her back.
Yeah.
So that way, no matter which way you're looking at her, you can just be like, man, those are some hot tits.
I blanked her out for the five-boobed woman. They really upped it. And like,
yeah, I mean, in the future, someone, probably a Japanese person, will develop a woman made entirely of tits. Because I could definitely see that being an anime character, right? Or like a persona from the Persona series.
Yeah. One of the demons. Yeah.
I'd be like, I'm Aphrodite, and it's just a woman made of titties.
Think all those things already exist.
Japanese media is really weird. I love it. I can't get enough of it. It's so good.
Yeah. I'm watching an anime now where there's, in the future, we have robot girls that are guns. They're named after the guns they use, and they fight wars. But one of the robot manufacturers has gone rogue, so all our old gun girls have to fight all the new ones. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Nice. My favorite part about what you just described was that it was Mega Man, but they just replaced all of the robot masters with women that represent some dumb gun. It's like, yeah, and then in the most recent episode, Walter PPK defeated Smith & Wesson or whatever and, like, absorbed her power, and now she can also be Smith & Wesson. It's like, okay, sick. Super fighting robot Mega Man. I love it.
So, thank you for the question. Cleodora Silvestri, who is right-clicking all your NFTs, asks, at what point does Q's Trump belief become too difficult to keep going now that he openly praises vaccines every chance he gets? I don't know that it'll ever be a problem for QAnon, because they're just so capable of jumping through hoops and defending Trump no matter what he does. And they've already created this massive mythos that Trump had to release the vaccines because if he didn't, the lockdowns would have been for decades and they would have destroyed the economy and turned us into a like authoritarian prison state with communism and all that other bad stuff. So what if, like, I don't know, tens of millions or hundreds of millions of people had to die to the poisoned vaccines? It was better to break the lockdowns than do that, right, guys? So they've already created this ridiculously dumb narrative to justify why Trump says the bad things he does about vaccines being good. I will say that, like, the non-QAnon supporting people are much angrier at Trump for being pro-vaccine. Like, Cernovich, Candace Owens was, like, taken aback when Trump, like, went so hard pro-vaccine on her. It's like more like the right-wing grifters who don't want to be called out for being QAnon supporters, but they want to be anti-vax for that kind of street cred. Those are the people that are really furious with Trump. And I mean, it'll be interesting to see how much pull they actually have and if they can help DeSantis get over the hump if that showdown does materialize. The actual hardcore pilled QAnon idiots are never going to let anything Trump says get in their way. I mean, they are going to be just defending him until the end of the earth. It's kind of my dream that the Biden administration, like, kisses Trump's ass and butters him up and they do everything they can. And at the Super Bowl, we get an ad for, like, taking the vaccines, and it, like, ends with, like, Biden saying to take the vaccine, then it, like, cuts to Trump and he's like, "Hey, get vaccinated, I took the booster," boom, and you just, like, have Trump as, like, the spokesperson for, like, this big ad seen by, like 150 million people, and just, like, watch QAnon's brains boil over that. Like, that would be like the funniest thing in the world.
They've already started to kind of fracture on that. The ones who are diehard Trumpers have made their own faction to a degree, haven't they?
Yeah, they know that they're not going to get a political candidate that's going to love them as much as Trump does. Where, like, Trump was like, "Hey, I don't know nothing about this QAnon thing except for they're anti-pedophile, and that sounds good to me. I mean, what's wrong about that?" Because Trump just feels like he's bulletproof and can get away with anything. I don't think they're ever going to get someone to rise up to the relevance of Trump who's going to be as supportive of them. I don't think Michael Flynn has the legs to do it. And anybody else in the Republican primary isn't going to be just, "You know who's great? QAnon. They're great. Let's back them." I don't think that's going to happen for him.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I don't think, God, it's 50-50 whether Trump runs again. And if he does, I feel like he hews closer to the Q bullshit.
Absolutely.
That's his best bet, I think.
Yeah. So thank you for the question. Our last question in the mailbag was from John Hatton, who asked, "In the 90s, the trendy conspiracy theory was about how the Clintons had dozens of people murdered to cover up their cocaine trafficking operation in Mendota, Arizona. Religious radio shows hawked VHSs of the Clinton Chronicles. Does any of the QAnon lore still refer to this?" Well, it just it's the second or third layer on top of Mendota Airport, because after Mendota Airport came Vince Foster and then Benghazi. And the thing also is that they were both kind of the bad guy back in the day, but that was when Bill was governor and then president. Once he lost the ability to be relevant again because he can't run for president anymore, the conspiracy shifted more towards Hillary's murderous bloodthirst and how she was like the mover and shaker who was dropping all the bodies and killed Seth Rich because he was going to like show the evidence that like she rigged the Democratic primary against Bernie Sanders and all that good stuff. So I just think that when you see them talking about Vince Foster and Seth Rich and Benghazi, that's just Mendota Airport. It's just the latest iteration of it.
So that's in Arizona because
it's in Arkansas.
You kept saying Arizona, and I was like,
I screwed it up. Then I screwed that up. It's only my fault.
There's a book called The Boys on the Tracks about these two murdered boys in Arkansas. Have you, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they got too close to the truth. They knew what was going on, and they had to be dropped. They're part of the Clinton body count. Like I don't know if the Clinton Chronicles are the same thing, but like this was like the VHS tapes that were being traded back in the 90s about the 50 or so people that Bill and Hillary Clinton had murdered on their rise to power. And if anyone gets too close to the Clintons, they get dropped. I've seen a customer who's a local of mine at the in the casinos in New England, and every now and then he wears a shirt that has Bill Clinton with a silenced pistol and Hillary Clinton with gloved hands and some like piano wire, and the caption is the Clintons, they can't suicide us all. And so, I mean, just the idea that the Clintons are bloodthirsty, murderous sociopaths who will do anything to claim power. It's been around ever since, like, Bill beat Pappy Bush. And I just love, like, the narrative of them being just totally evil monsters. You have to live in this world where that is true, and Obama was born in Kenya and was illegitimately the president, and yet bloodthirsty Hillary, who'd do anything for power, never once was like, oh yeah, by the way, Obama's birth certificate is forged and here's proof of it, boom, sorry Obama, you can't run against me in 2008, now I'm the nominee, boom, now I'm President Clinton, I did it, Hill in the White House, boom boom, roasted. I just love how she's a total monster, but at the same time, when she gets the phone call from George Soros, who tells her to back down to Obama, she's just like, okay, fine, boss, whatever you say. I'll take one for the team.
Yeah, maybe we'll get into that on like a side project, the supposed Clinton body count. But,
oh, absolutely.
You said that was the last question?
Yeah, that was the last question from the mailbag, which then unlocks the secret bonus question at the end of all of our podcasts, which is, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to, I get to see now one of my favorite bands, Murder by Death, again, and at the Stanley Hotel in Colorado. So I'll let you guys know if I see any ghosts.
Spooky ghosts.
Well, I sure hope they stop touring soon, because we have a weekly podcast to record, and you're just only here like at one out of every three episodes or whatever now. So
no, this is my last trip for a long time. I am very tired.
But yeah, like I'm excited for you to get to see Murder by Death for the 1,000th time or whatever. It's just like, I feel like it's just like you take like 12 trips a year and six of them are going to see Murder by Death. Like, this time in a cave, this time at the Stanley Hotel, this time we're taking a cruise that they're playing on, this time they're playing on the moon.
These are actually tickets we bought 2 years ago that are just now like happening. So
yeah, the Rota did fuck everything up for everybody.
Yep.
But so that's what I'm looking forward to.
That's neato. I am looking forward to, I mean, geez, not much specifically. I mean, I guess like now that I'm back from my trip, I can start getting back into the swing of doing my board game nights. So that's going to be nice. Even though my friend who is about that board game life and is constantly buying new shit is just always insisting that I play a bunch of dumb fuck new games instead of the old games that I've played once or twice and know that I like and want to play again. So I will have to suffer through playing through some new board games that may or may not be great before I can get back to playing games that I know are great, like Everdell and Obsession and stuff of that nature. But it will be nice to just get back to doing some physical gaming once again.
Yeah.
How about you, Mike?
Oh, I'm looking forward to losing an incredible amount of money on the Green Bay Packers this weekend. I think there's going to be a bunch of good football games this weekend, but the Packers and the 49ers will not be one of them, given just how like just rife with injuries the Niners were in their win over the woeful Dallas Cowboys. Just so gratifying to watch the Dallas Cowboys blow it yet again. if there was ever a franchise that needed to have more dirt kicked on them, it's that it's the Dallas Cowboys, and I much appreciate that. But the 49ers looked like the Bluesmobile at the end of the movie. They just like fell apart in every possible way. They're not great quarterback, who I love so much. Damn you, Jimmy, why didn't you pan out? He's got a sprained shoulder. Their best defensive player has got a concussion. They're just a wreck. And so, yeah. I'm gonna be Mikey Squares this week on the wagering, and when you all watch San Francisco actually win the game and defeat the Niners, defeat the Packers, know that I'm gonna be out the funds, as it were.
I mean, that's gonna be on you, mate. Fucking Aaron Rodgers has been a quarterback since the league was founded or whatever. He's just like 1,000 years old.
And, did you explain him in Super Bowl I?
Yeah, yes. And he's been to what, one Super Bowl?
I ain't betting a nickel on him in the NFC title game, because that's where that man turns into a pumpkin every year. But this is the week where he lulls you into the false sense of security, and everyone's like, "Oh, this is the year that Rodgers gets his second ring. He's going to the bowl. There's no way. There's no doubt about it." And then either Brady just smashes him again in the NFC title game, or the Rams just knife through the Packers' butter soft offensive line and truck him, and he blows it again. But
they've shown they can't beat the Chiefs.
Wait a minute. Did you just say that? Wait a minute. If I'm doing my math correctly, and if I heard you correctly, is Tom Brady? There's a chance that Tom Brady might be in the Super Bowl this year. That never happens, except for literally on average every other year for the past 20 years. So. Okay, we're losing some elite quarterbacks with Aaron Rodgers playing his last year for Green Bay, almost certainly, and Ben Roethlisberger retiring. Between them, not even like a quarter of the amount of Super Bowls that Tom Brady has been to. Sick. Okay, cool. Good stuff.
Before you go to the outro, I have to make a retraction. I fucked up my own schedule, like everything. I will be here next week. I'll be back before we record. So... that's my fault. My bad.
Oh shit, we're gonna have surprise Sarge next week. 2 weeks of Sarge in a row.
I fucked up my own schedule because I'm missing the next binge wordy that we have already recorded because I'm gonna be gone on Sunday. So
Well, it'll be nice to have you, mate, because otherwise who else am I gonna talk about multiple titted women to?
I feel like we've run that well dry. There's only two of them in one technically.
No,
one
there's
movie.
Three of them. That's the point. you see what I did there?
Hey,
you understand what the joke was there? See, Sarge was talking about the number of women with breasts, but I came in and my joke was that I was talking about the actual breasts on the women, of which there is a third. Which is that makes her different because she has three of them instead of two, which is the norm, or less, which happens if women need to get them removed for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So three would be really surprising. But like, I mean, you would just be like, wow, that is so many more than I was expecting.
Get your ass
like,
to Mars.
Like that is 50% more than I was expecting. It's so weird.
I'm going to make you watch both Total Recalls for binge worthy at some point.
Oh my God. There'll be six tits. It'll be crazy.
Oh God.
Anyway.
I wanted to finish real quickly here by bringing up that on my Twitter timeline, Paramore just popped up as now being part of a festival with My Chemical Romance. So we're actually doing emo nostalgia tour.
If you look up the lineup for that, if you were into that type of music, it has got to be the greatest tour to have ever existed. Because
that lineup is insane.
That lineup is insane. Now, I am not into that music, so when I look at that, I'm just like, oh, it's Bad Taste Festival 2022. But like, I am very excited for anyone who is interested in those bands, because if you are, holy shit. I know a ton of people from my youth that like their taste in music is frozen like it got trapped in amber and it's gonna get resurrected by John Hammond. Like, so they're just like, oh my God, Paramore, Jimmy Eat World, My Chemical Romance, all the best hits from 15 to 20 years ago. Can't wait.
Alkaline Trio, Taking Back Sunday.
And like to those people, like I do want to grab them by the shoulders and shake them and be like, music has continued to be made. You don't have to be trapped in this time loop. But they seem satisfied to be trapped in the loop. So I'm very happy for them. Hopefully they can make it down to Las Vegas to see all of their favorite acts from, you know, 30 years ago. Like they could all produce their razor phones and, you know, frost their tips and put on their mascara and go see this slate of bands that is like lineup wise, it is just absolutely insane. So, I mean,
yeah, I just looked at the lineup and that is an incredible lineup for that.
It's
that
fucking genre. Crazy. It's like four Warped Tours or whatever worth of bands. It's just like absolutely bananas. But out of all of them, the only band that I would like ever want to see live personally is Jimmy Eat World. Like the rest of them, I think are all completely fucking worthless. But I am a known hip hop or underground pop punk sort of guy, so take anything I say about music with a grain of salt. We've all got our preferences. Sure. Anyway, on that note, it is time for us to vacate Hell World and get our asses to Mars. So thank you everyone for listening. We appreciate the support. If you'd like to continue to support us, you can do so for free by simply telling a friend or giving us a 5-star review or a maximum review, whatever that maximum may be, wherever you get your podcast provided from. If you have some jingle jangle in your pocket and you'd like to give it to us for some additional financial support, you can do so by visiting us at patreon.com/pokerpolitics. Anybody who donates to our Patreon at the $5 and above tier gets access to 40 or more, actually more than 40 hours worth of bonus content, including series such as Kabbalin and What We Do Out of Shadows, which is our most recent series where the boys get together and talk about some dumb QAnon propaganda nonsense. This week, we are pleased to welcome aboard our most recent beautifuler baby, Mike from Connecticut. Enjoy living in Connecticut, mate. I've been to Connecticut a few times. It actually seems like a perfectly reasonable state. So, thank you very much for your support. And again, once again, you can join Mike from Connecticut in supporting us by visiting us at patreon.com/pokerpolitics. However, if you have money and you don't want to give it to us, we totally understand. You can do a little good with it by donating it to love146.org. They're an organization whose vision is the end of child trafficking and exploitation. And that has always sounded pretty good to us. This is the part of the show where I have to thank our good friend DJ Minimal Effort, who remains too cool for social media, for providing us with our wonderful intro song. Our buddy Frosty, the voiceover artist, who is not too trendy for his social media. So therefore, you can find at Twitter at FrostyVO for providing our content warning, our bumps, and the voice of Q when we need it. Sarge and I have a spinoff podcast where we talk about pop media that you can find at Bingewordy. That's BINGEWRDY, wherever your podcasts are provided, and on Twitter at Bingewordy. This week, we were discussing the Disney Plus exclusive show Hawkeye. So if you'd like to hear a couple of jerks dish about Disney's Marvel's Hawkeye, you can do so by following us over at Bingewordy. So, for another successful episode of the Adventures in Hell World podcast, I am the Mysterious L, signing off from my co-hosts, Sarge, and our wonderful expert in all things Q Anonymous, Mr. Mike Rains. And as always, it is time for me to tell you, good speed, Patriots!